Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
So we understand what it's like to not have the creature comforts. And you folks, your grandma, they didn't have that, right? Running water, got to go run and get it, right? Okay, fine. We understand what it means to be primitive, to live a primitive life, but let's put ourselves in the desert where there's nothing except sand and scorpions. And again, 2 days camel ride to go to the supermarket. It's rough. And then the sandstorm will come up, and we've seen on TV and whatever, it's like, oh, we got to cover everything, and oh, half our stuff's gone in an hour. Life's rough in the desert, and that matters. That matters, because that's where God called Moses to go. That's part of his calling and training for ministry. He spent time in the desert for 40 years. You know, Jesus, and it's, if you haven't figured it out, the Old Testament is full of little sketches of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, when he got baptized, full of the Holy Ghost, he went straight off into the wilderness, into the desert, for 40 days. And it mirrors the 40 years. And 40 is used other times. What have you, the children of Israel, they spent 40 years in the desert. What have you. But there has to be this wilderness experience. We can talk about the mountaintop experience where Moses went up there and was with God and got the law from God, the Ten Commandments, what have you. Again, all of these things mirror, or rather should I say, all of these things in the Old Testament are mirrored in the New Testament. We understand that Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, it says, I can turn to it, Jesus with his disciples went up into the mountain, and when he was set, he began to teach. And he gave us the Sermon on the Mount. We understand that the scepter will not depart out of Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, and before Shiloh come. That's in Genesis chapter 49. That Shiloh is Jesus Christ. We understand that he came. We understand that he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We understand that prophecy in Genesis 49. He's the lawgiver. When Moses went up on the mountain, he got the law, right? That is a picture of what Jesus did. He's the lawgiver. And he with his disciples went up on the mountain and sat down and got all comfy in his little easy chair, right? Well, just kidding. And he began to teach. And we have it recorded as the Sermon on the Mount. That's the same kind of thing. Moses went up on the mountain to get the law. Practically everywhere you look in the Old Testament, if you look, you'll find Jesus. You'll find it. It's called typology, the study of types. A type, one definition, is something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. The greatest type there is, I suppose, would be, again, in the book of Exodus. On the Passover night, they took that lamb, a lamb for a house, and killed him and put the blood on the doorpost and lintel. Paul said, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And if you put his blood on the doorpost of your heart, he'll come in. And you'll be saved, delivered, spared from destruction and the death angel, which, of course, we understand if you're in Christ, you don't go to hell. Again, everywhere you look in the Old Testament, you will find Christ. And I've taught an awful lot about typology in my years of ministry. We can talk about Moses' intercession. He got on his face so many times, standing between God and the rebellious Israelites, and God was like, I'm going to kill him. And Moses said, oh, please don't. I mean, here's reason one and reason two and reason 20. Reasons, all these reasons why you shouldn't do what you want to do to those rebellious folks. In essence, it goes between, and that's what Moses did. We understand that Jesus is our intercessor. He went between heaven and earth, hanging there, 6 foot up, whatever, before they put him 6 foot under. Thank God he was between sinful man and God. Thank God. I taught, it's on the radio, it's a long time ago, and it's also on the webpage, joeykelly.net. Got to spell it right. He's got too many E's in his name. Click on the radio link, and you'll find every sermon I've done for the past 8 years. I taught the book of Exodus in two sections. I taught the first 24 chapters, which talks about them exiting Egypt, being delivered from bondage, what have you. And then later on, I taught the last chapters, chapter 25 to the end, about the tabernacle. You know, it's the same tabernacle here we read in our verse. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. That's what he's talking about. But God called Moses and had a specific way of doing it. And we generally think of Moses as the law. You know, he's an Old Testament character. He's got his big staff, what have you. And he laid down the law, what have you. Law. Now, there was relationship and law. There's no question about it. I mean, you've got 66 books in the Bible. The first 39 are law. And there's a great amount of relationship. You know, there's relationship. You can look at David. David had a relationship with God. He wrote about half the book of Psalms, what have you, and there's relationship there. We can read about when he was a shepherd boy, and he spent time tending those sheep. We understand the pastor's a shepherd. We understand that the pastor tends his flock, tends his sheep, make sure that you guys are prayed for. You end up in the hospital, he's right there. Make sure that he teaches you and feeds you the Word of God every Sunday. And if some idiot gets on TV, he says, no, that guy's wrong. He tries to care for you. That's what the shepherd boy did for those sheep. While he was doing that, he had a whole lot of time to say, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty. He had a whole lot of time to pray and sing and shout. And we have a lot of his psalms from that period of his life. And then later on, he got to be king and he was betrayed. And he ended up in the cave of Adullam. And we can read all about that. All of the things that happened to him in the psalms. He had a relationship. He had a relationship. You know, the law says, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. It's a bunch of other things thou shalt not do. And if you break the law, you get punished. Some of them you die. If you kill, you die. If you commit adultery, you die. David committed adultery. David killed. Why was he not stoned to death? It's a Sunday school question. The answer is grace. We find grace in the book of the law, the Old Testament. We find grace. He should have been stoned twice, two offenses. But God saw fit to accept Psalm 51, his prayer of repentance. Well, I'm sure everybody else that got caught before they were stoned asked, oh God, please forgive. But why was David, why was he forgiven? They asked that same thing of Jesus, the woman caught in adultery, threw her down. By the way, where was the guy? Takes two to tango. He was over there in the corner watching, right? Well, the law says she ought to be stoned. Well, what do you say, Master? Well, he threw it right back in their face, wrote in the dirt. Not sure what he wrote, but it's the same question. Why wasn't David killed? It's because of grace. But again, Moses God used him a certain way. God did marvelous things through him. But Joshua, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses was called one way. He was brought up one way in the wilderness. He suffered rejection and ridicule, and they were looking to kill him and what have you, you know, to pay for his crime or whatever the case. He was hiding, and he lost everything he had, and he was second in command in Egypt, went down to being a hunted man. He had a certain way that his life went, a certain way that God called him. And again, he's the lawgiver and stern and what have you. But Joshua went a different route. A few chapters before, Exodus chapter 24, Moses was going to go up to the mountain to get the law. Exodus chapter 24, you don't have to turn to it, it's verse 13 if you do. Moses rose up and his minister, servant Joshua, we understand, here's a term, Moses had a Batman. Batman means secretary, assistant. If you think about it, Robin is Batman's Batman. Scratch your head on that. Nobody in America knows what that term means, but regardless, I think it's kind of funny. But, and Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God. He was there 40 days, 40 nights. Joshua was halfway up, 40 days and 40 nights. Now, they used to being in the desert. They used to packing provisions. 40 days, maybe they didn't pack that long. I don't know. But they were there 40 days and 40 nights. Joshua was not back in the camp. He wasn't saying, look, go give me that, and they went and got it. He was halfway up the mountain. Maybe Moses said, hey, come here and stay halfway up the mountain. But you kind of get a sense of Joshua wanted to go halfway up the mountain. It says here, the verse we read when we started this off, Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And after he was done, and he turned to go back into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses went into the tabernacle and met with God, and they had this little man-to-man conversation. And when prayer meeting was over, Moses said, okay, time to go back. And he went out of the temple, back into his tent, took a nap, whatever, ate some dates, whatever the case. Put a bet on the camel races, whatever the case. But Joshua, he didn't go out of the tabernacle. He wanted to stay with the presence of God. Again, Moses had it rough. He lost his position. He suffered all those years trying to find his way, and God revealing himself in the burning bush and all that stuff. He had his way of going on with God, but Joshua had another. And I would say that Joshua's way was better, because Joshua wanted to stay in the temple. He wanted to stay near God. He had a hunger and a thirst for God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. The law is fantastic. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law didn't pass away, it was fulfilled. The law is fantastic. It shows us we need to get saved. I'm so glad that I have the New Testament. Yet if you tell me the name of the Savior, Jesus, I can preach the whole counsel of God, the whole gospel, out of the first 39 books. I can do it. Matter of fact, that's what Paul did when he was writing those, all those epistles. What do you think he quoted? He quoted the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 24, on the road to Emmaus, they were going from one town to the next, and Jesus appeared. He was risen, but he appeared. And he fell in step and says, hey guys, what y'all talking about? Well, you know, the thing in Jerusalem, and we're sad, and we don't know what to do, and whatever. They didn't know who he was. But he began first with the prophets, and went through the Psalms and whatever else, and told them covenant typology. Same thing I teach on the radio. About you look in the Old Testament and you find Christ. In about 4 or 5 miles, I don't know, what, about an hour, they talked. And after the Sunday school lesson was over, and they broke bread, they said, "That's Jesus. That's Jesus. We were there for an hour, we didn't see, but man, we understand the teaching that he gave from Jeremiah or from Zechariah or from Moses, whatever he taught, Psalms, whatever. We see Jesus in the Psalms. We see Jesus in the Old Testament. We see Jesus in the law. That's what I teach. That's what Jesus taught. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Paul did. But we find grace in the law. We find Christ in the law. And we find Joshua wanting to stay. Prayer meeting's over. I'm going home. I'm going to watch whatever show on TV, what have you. Get a little bit leftovers. Maybe go to bed early. Nope. Joshua says, "I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to stay at the altar. I'm going to tarry at the altar, if you would. I'm going to be Pentecostal." He wanted more of God. He went a different way. But he got everything Moses had. He got everything Moses had. Jeremiah, let me give you a couple of verses. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. "And ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with your whole heart." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. "But if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, if thou seek with all thine heart and with all thine soul." Again, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, sick for they shall be filled." If you want it, you can have it. You know the guy that generally hangs out on this side of the holy desk? God called. Maybe he went to bridal college. That's a joke. Nobody laughed. Because pastors or evangelists, whatever, God called them, they go to Bible college. And women will go to Bible college not to get a call, but to get a husband. Bridal college. Joke. Got to explain it. It ain't no fun. I guess I lost my place in the joke, but if you seek God and you search for him, you'll find him. But like I said, they went a different way. They went a different route, the two men. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him." And not just that one little ceremony like in Acts chapter 14, but all of the testimony, all of the sermon we've talked about, he had a lifestyle of tarrying at the altar. He had a lifestyle of seeking. Ask, seek, knock, be a little acrostic. He had a lifestyle of doing it, and God gave it to him. "And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." We understand that Moses died and Joshua led him across the River Jordan. We read about that, etc. But they understood that God had laid his hand and Moses had laid his hand upon Joshua. "And the children of Israel hearkened unto Joshua and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Well, what about what Joshua commanded? Well, they did what Joshua, it says right here, they hearkened unto Joshua, but they did what the Lord commanded Moses. It was Moses' plan. It was Moses' bandwagon. Well, he didn't get into the promised land himself, but when the leadership was, when the baton was passed to Joshua, everybody said, "Hey, let's, the baton's in his hand, let's do what Joshua says." But they all did what Moses said. To go into the promised land. And to keep the law, etc. Law and grace. Law and grace. The Old Testament all sets it up. The first thing, the 39 books all set it up. And Matthew, bam, here's the answer. Here's Christ. Moses is a type of the Old Testament, a type of law. Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ. He's a type of grace. I know what I was going to say earlier. But the guy that generally stands on this side of the pulpit, he's called to be here. And you guys are a little peons. No, no, that's not the way it is. Because the Nicolaitans, that doctrine's wrong. If the man behind this side isn't beneath you, then there's a problem. If he's over you, you've got a problem. Find another church. He's a servant. Minister means servant. Not Lord, not master, but servant. Again, you call him up at 4 a.m, you're in the hospital. He's going to get his pants on and go to the hospital. Not, well, why don't you call and make an appointment with my servant? He's going to get his pants on and go to the hospital, right? He's a servant. The guy called to preach, the guy on this side of the pulpit, maybe he's got a special place. But you know, he may have gotten his sermon, he may have spent time in Bible college, he may have done all of that stuff. But then he steps up and he opens the Word of God and God does something in your hearts. Maybe you didn't go to Bible college. Maybe you didn't labor in prayer all week to get a sermon, but you get the benefit of it. And God can speak to your heart, and your heart can say, yes, yes. Well, everything the pastor's got, you can have. All you got to do is seek. All you got to have is a hunger in your heart for it. Now, I was going to say this, I plan to say this, that, you know, it says that if you seek after God, if you hunger and thirst, hungering and thirst isn't something, well, I got a hunger and thirst. The pastor, I got a hunger. He said, I need to be more diligent in hunger and thirst. No, no. It's not something you do because that's religion. It's that every time he preaches and God touches your heart and you say, yeah, yeah. And you begin to expect that the man's going to have a word from you. You begin to expect that when you go in a prayer meeting, God moves upon your heart. You begin to expect that we sing those old songs and you feel lifted in your spirit. You become accustomed to it. And when it's not there, when you go to some other church or what have you, I don't want to talk bad about other churches, but some churches don't have what we have here. You say, well, man, I missed it. That's the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. That's the hunger and the thirst. If you enjoy the football game more than you enjoy the Word of God, you don't got enough hunger and thirst. But when, man, I really like the things of God, that's the hunger and the thirst. Again, you might not have gone to Bible college. Everything the man on this side has, you can have. You can be like Joshua. You can tarry. And you ought to be a good Berean. Everything I say, he says, anybody on the radio or TV says, especially those guys, you need to go and, what was that verse? Okay, he said it right. Oh, no, that's wrong. You see what I'm saying? You need to do it yourself. You need to study to show yourself approved. You're not going to get to heaven and say, well, Pastor told me something. No, it's you. You got a Bible. You got 4 Bibles at home. You ought to know yourself. If you have a hunger and thirst, you can have everything that the pastor's got and not have to work for it. Hallelujah. But to close this out, Psalm chapter 63, the first 7.5 verses. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judea. See where he got it from, the wilderness. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And we had a good time in church this morning, and revival 6 months ago was great. Yeah, but when things are rough and you're in the hospital waiting for the pastor to show up, you can see God's power then in your dark time. He's the God of the mountain. He's also the God of the valleys. The Amorites have ever found out he can move in your dark circumstance. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. If your soul follows hard after thee, everything David talked about can be yours. And I got better than that because we got a better coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I hope that I've done all right. I hope most of all that you've spoken to somebody's heart. And if this thing makes it on radio, please bless those listening by radio. Lord, we depend upon the moving of your spirit. My eloquence of speech and my stuffed up sinuses ain't going to help nobody. But we need a touch from him. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.